Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
In the District of Columbia. You hear that song? Time to talk to our friend, Mr. Peter Rosenberg from New York City. Fresh off ESPN, I think this morning or yesterday. What's up, Peter? How are you?
Yo, what's happening, guys? How we doing?
We are good, man. I wanted to start, dude. I saw you were at Fanatics Fest, and before we even get to the Jaden stuff, Fanatics Fest, to me, feels like a series of, like, staged viral moments. What's it like being there?
I don't really have a good way to describe it from a consumer standpoint, because I haven't done it really in that way. It seems like if you're a collector, if you're either a big or an autograph picture kind of person.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I would say it's also cool in the sense that even if you don't pay for the autographs or the pictures, you walk around, you will probably walk by some pretty cool people. Like that, it's just the way it's set up. That naturally will happen. I will say from the standpoint of like being a part of it, it's great. Like the experience of being a part of it is such where like you get treated like gold, and once you're sort of in a VIP setting, like everybody is sort of around and you have access to everybody. So it's great from that standpoint. So yeah, long story short, my experience has only been
ballin'.
My experience has only been good. I think it's awesome. But I don't know how much you end up spending, like if you want to get multiple autographs and things like that. I don't know about that.
I got you.
But the autograph dude going in, they spend so much money. I'm wondering where all these dudes get their damn money from sometimes.
I assume.
I see some people, Peter, everywhere I go, they are there. And I'm like, dude, you live in Virginia. How the hell did you get here? Man, I go to all the collectors. I don't know where they get their money from, man.
I know. It is crazy. I like the people like to meet people multiple times. Like I was talking to a WWE superstar. They were like, yeah, someone paid to get a picture or an autograph. And then they came back later and they were like, they paid again to get the picture.
That's wow. Crazy. Like,
people do crazy stuff, guys. But then again, there was me. Making sure I got my picture with my boy JD5, you know what I mean?
So let's tell that story. So I'm not sure everybody knows. Talking with our friend Peter Rosenberg here. You can follow him at Rosenberg Radio. Peter joining us via the Rude Guest Hotline. I think this is accurate. This must be new. On your Twitter profile, it now just says, I talk about a lot of different stuff. Because you can hear Peter talking WWE. You can hear him talking hip-hop. You can hear him talking sports. All over the place. And you got to meet Jaden Daniels last weekend with your baby girl. I think this is a cool story.
Yeah, well, first of all, I just want to say I took all of my brands off of my Twitter profile because you never know, I might say something crazy out of Twitter altogether. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so for those who haven't heard me talk about this on with JP and B. Mitch before, we named my daughter Maya Jaden. And you know, the name is because of the man, and we love the name, so it worked great. So right when I found out Jaden was going to be at Fanatics Fest, I was like, well, this has to happen. So I really wanted to be a part of their conversation and try to mediate it. Unfortunately that didn't work out, but, Taylor Rooks did. And I ran into Taylor Rooks. And she met the baby, et cetera. And I'm like, we have her here because she needs to meet Jaden Daniels. And she was like, oh, that's my guy. I'll introduce you. And I said, awesome. So I was done with my duties for the day. So if you go on my Instagram, Rosenberg Radio, you will see me going up. I said hello to Josh Harris, seemed like a lovely guy. I do feel a little bit bad. If anyone out there is listening, I apologize to Josh because we were kind of mid-conversation and he was being very friendly. And then Taylor did the Jaden introduction. So I did that terrible thing. And JP, I'm sure you've had this happen to you where like you're standing there and the person's excited to talk to you. And then they see like Daryl Green and forget that you exist.
Yeah, I've definitely seen that.
So I did that to the owner of the Commanders. We were in mid conversation, but then Jaden walked over and I was sort of like, I'm sorry. Hi, Jaden. This is my baby. I mean, don't get me wrong. Owners are cool and all, but this is my quarterback, baby.
That's awesome. What was Harris's reaction?
No, Harris was super friendly. I don't think he even noticed or cared, but he was being totally lovely when I did meet him. And then I told Jaden the situation and about the baby. He was sweet as could be, as I imagined he would be. We snapped a couple pictures, and that was it. So it was just a nice thing. You know, I always wanted to have that photo of when she was a little baby, you know, right in this time with her namesake. So really cool. He did not disappoint. He had the energy that I sort of assumed that he would. I have a cool video that I'll actually send to you. I don't know if anyone else posted this, actually. My manager was hanging out at some point near an area where Joe Burrow and Jaden were throwing together. Did anybody post that?
Yeah, I've seen a video. I don't. Maybe you have a different one or something, but I have seen the Burrow-Jaden just throwing the football together.
Yes. So yeah. It's just a different. It's just a video from my manager's camera. But my manager did say, he said Burrow did not seem very approachable, or like he seemed a little uncomfortable. And then of course we saw the Burrow baseball throw, which was rather unfortunate. I don't know. I was a little surprised though. I'm like, he's supposed to be Joe Cool.
I think he's aloof. I don't know, but
That's what he said. He literally described him as just like aloof and not like people were talking to him and he didn't seem there.
Yeah, little Macaulay Culkin. That's what he looked like to me.
He does kind of look like him. How would you so like kind of knowing Jaden a bit now, I have like my own vision of him, but like he met you as like you're not like the beat guy that's there every day. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
How would you describe his energy when you met him?
Friendly and connected. At first, he was a tiny bit distracted. There was like a lot going on in that exact moment. And so at first, you know, when you're talking to someone, but there's a lot going on, I could see he was a little bit like, what's happening? And then as things settled, was very dialed into the conversation and you know, sweet. I commented that she was born right before the Detroit game. And he was like, oh, good luck charm.
That's great.
To which I wanted to grab him by both shoulders and say, no, Jaden, you're our good luck charm. But I didn't. I resisted. he was great. He was cool. He was cool as can be. You know, I obviously meet a lot of athletes, and the young ones are interesting to judge because like they're still kind of forming who they are. And he seems exactly as he comes off, like a, you know, he's not. I'm not going to tell you I'm trying to think of who like the example would be of like, oh my God, the most affable, you can't even believe it kind of guy. I wouldn't go as far as saying he's that, but he's clearly friendly and down to earth. His mom was right there. She was inches away. Mm-hmm. So I had a nice little chat with mom as well. Who's
She's
lovely.
A nice lady.
She's cool.
Yeah. I had met her once before at that game, when I was in the Fanatics thing. So, no, but they were both super cool, man. Like, it's one of the things I'm most excited about with this team is just I think there's a lot of good people around, and I think that's really important.
And makes a world of difference, too.
Talking with our friend Peter Rosenberg. You can follow him on Twitter or Instagram at Rosenberg Radio. Very cool you got to meet him and all the experiences of the Fanatics Fest. Did you happen to see the Kevin Durant, Micah Parsons video?
No, I did not.
KD told Parsons he was going to end up in D.C. in 2 years, and all Parsons said is, Dan Quinn's my guy. We'll see.
Oh, you know what? I read this headline. Hey, man. That's the most talented defensive player in the league, in my opinion. I don't think that's a crazy opinion.
He's among them, yeah.
I would love that. Now, I talked to Micah Parsons once. He was on set at WrestleMania in Dallas a couple years ago, and he was not – he did not seem as upbeat on the prospect of joining the Commanders because I did bring that up. But he was brand new then. You know what I mean? Maybe he's figuring out he's with a losing franchise at this point. So I'd be thrilled. That guy is not only so talented as a football player, he's such a good talker and so charismatic too, man. Like, Micah Parsons is a special dude.
For sure. So B and I were kicking this around. Our guy Jeff is a little nervous about the McLaurin situation.
So Jeff is nervous about everything, Peter.
Brian and I are not. I think this is kind of normal football business. Weirdly enough, the deadline the Commanders have imposed for RFK Stadium is July 15th. They want to hear from the city. And I think July 15th is a pretty important date for Terry to get a deal done because that's a week before training camp. How do you feel about the Terry situation?
Well, I think I may have talked about this a week when you weren't there, which is most weeks, frankly.
There you go, Pete.
With friends like these.
Way to let him know.
No, but I don't think it's a big deal. I do think it's regular football. I do think it's a very unique situation. And by that I mean he is owed money and respect. Because he has been the most consistent part of this team for what is it, 7 years now? How many years into this are we? Like pay that man his money, right?
Pay that man his money.
Exactly, rounders. But on top of that, though, as good as Terry is, I think he's more valuable in Washington than anywhere else.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Terry on the free market, if the number for Terry McLaurin, I'm throwing out a random number. If the number for Terry McLaurin is $27 million in Washington, then it's like $24 million elsewhere. I really do think he's more valuable here because of what he's meant to the franchise and the amount of number 17 jerseys you see in the stands.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I just think as great as he would be anywhere else, he's not quite in the highest tier of wide receiver. He's right below that. But for us, there's a little more to it because he's such a special piece. So I think they're both – I think both sides are in a unique spot, and that's why this is going to require sort of a really smart, poised, calm conversation.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's interesting, too, is B and I were talking about this. Being at minicamp a couple of weeks back now, when Noah Brown's down, like, Terry's not there, you notice, you know, you get to week one, and you've got Terry outside, Debo in the slot. You feel pretty good, even if there's a third wide receiver out there and it's Jalen Lane or Luke McCaffrey, whoever that is, right? But if Terry's not there and it's like maybe it's Noah Brown and Luke McCaffrey with Debo in the slot, like he's pretty damn important for everything he's done since he's been drafted. But from a, yo, this team believes they're contenders, he's pretty damn important too.
Dude, it's totally different. And it puts Debo in a totally different situation if they don't have to key on Terry. So it's vitally important. Yeah, everything I just said about what he means to the franchise is totally true. But from a pure football standpoint, if we're going for it this year, which I would have to imagine we are, like this is a go for it year. This is not a, oh, we hope we turn out to be good. This is a, we were close last year. Let's get there. Oh, he's vitally important.
Yeah. Totally.
And I think he's vitally important to that young man that you met this over the weekend. I mean, at the fest. He's vitally important to him because when he got in trouble, who did he look for? 17.
Yeah, and isn't it funny to think about the first couple of weeks when 5 just couldn't find 17 and then they found it?
Right. It was the touchdown in the Bengals game. Remember afterwards, Terry went up and like slapped him on the shoulders, like, do that. Trust me. I'll make the play. I mean, what a moment.
That was it.
Huh? Iconic.
That was it.
How much, if at all, have you paid attention to the RFK stuff from New York?
I just hear a little pieces here and there, but is it actually looking tenuous, or is this not good?
Well, it's politics. No.
Politicians are politicking is what I would say.
But are we actually worried it could not get done?
I think it's getting done, Peter, but I just think that certain people are going to grandstand for a moment.
No way. Really? I wouldn't have guessed that. Based on the initial press conference, when the president was there, and I went asking around, does he have anything to do with this? And everybody said, absolutely not. I went, oh, so a lot of people are going to want to take credit, and naturally, the team is going to want to make politicians feel good, right? They don't want any problems with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, politician's going to politician. I really do hope they get it done. It felt like the final piece. And by the way, while I'm at it, let me give Josh Herrick credit for yet again putting the name thing to bed. And by the way, was that a real thing that I saw you post? Were the junkies really talking about, are there people who would trade ownership?
Like, they weren't talking about it, but they had people calling in saying it, is my understanding. There are bots on, I assume there are people that come at me on social all the time about that. It's stunning.
If you would prefer the name Redskins so much that you would rather have Snyder own the team with that name, not only are you a non-functional moron, you also are not really a fan of the team.
I'm with you 100% on that.
To care about the name more than the culture change that has happened. Like, I won't even get into the argument that I think the name is outdated and shouldn't be the name. Put that aside. All things equal, it makes no sense. The most important thing that has happened to this franchise by a country mile, and that includes more important than the drafting of Jaden Daniels, is Dan Snyder being gone. It
You're
is
right
everything.
About that.
Dude, I totally agree. I mean, in 24
years. It just shows you the ignorance that lives around you, brother. That's all it is.
In 24 years as an NFL owner, the Washington organization was 60 games below 500. And that technically gives him credit for 99 when B was on the team and Dan wasn't actually in charge.
Nothing to do with that.
If you take that off, it's way worse, including a 1-5 playoff record.
And then in year one. Not only does everything start to get better, but now we went to a championship game, guys. A champion. Like, I sat there marveling. I was barely even sad when that game ended. I couldn't believe we got there. Like, a championship game, that's what real football teams do. We were a real football team. Like, I'm lobbying to ESPN right now. I really want to do a feature on the team going into this coming season and the experience that all of us are having, whether you're a fan, whether you're a former player who talks about the team, whether you're a beat reporter who's there every day, or whether you're part of the organization, the adjustment that all of us are making to not be a loser.
Totally, man. Totally.
Like, we're not losers anymore. Like, it literally affects everybody. I mean, even the people whose job is to cover the team, everything is different now. And I just think it's such an intriguing story, and the surface hasn't even been scratched with it yet.
Totally.
You taking any time off? It is summertime. You got a little baby.
Actually, I'm glad you guys brought that up. I'm going to catch y'all in August, my guys.
Attaboy. Enjoy. All right, enjoy.
I'm on paternity starting tomorrow.
Are you going to be home at all? We can set up some golf.
So, maybe at the end of July. We're in New York for the next week. Then we're going to France for a couple of weeks, and then maybe I'll make a trip. Do you guys have any off time, or you're working through July?
We'll be around.
I'm taking the week after the 4th off, but then we got camp opens the
22nd. They got those new baby seat golf carts at Congressional.
You come home, we'll make it happen.
All right, I would love that.
All right, thank you, Peter. Enjoy some time off, man.
Be cool, brother.
Later, guys. Talk soon.
All right, man. All right.
That's our guy, Peter Rosenberg, does everything. WWE, ESPN, everywhere you look, Rosenberg is there. When we come back, we're talking artificial intelligence in the NFL.
Oh, Lord. Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. FanDuel, because nothing says summer fun like adding excitement to the game while your friends are getting sunburned at the beach. Summer sports are calling your name. Baseball under the stadium lights. Golf on pristine green fairways or in the rough like Jeff. Soccer matches with world-class goals and all the action-packed moments in between. You were going to spend all day following your favorite sports on your phone anyway, so you might as well make it more thrilling with FanDuel. Open the app today and see the daily promotion. New to FanDuel? New customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if your first bet wins. Open the FanDuel app today or visit FanDuel.com/Brian, B-R-I-A-N, to get started. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fam. In a moment or two, we're going to be joined by Josh Kendall from The Athletic. Wrote a really interesting story about the use of artificial intelligence in the NFL. B just said to me, though, and I was kind of blown away by it, too, the NHL draft is tonight. It's crazy you go from 2 days of NBA draft right into the NHL draft.
It's like just a, it's an afterthought.
You heard it in Savannah's update there. It seems like there's at least some legitimate conversation around the Caps trading out of this pick. And I just made a mental note of it. I think it was last week when we had Smoke and Al on. And Kogan mentioned that. I think Kogan's out in L.A. for the draft. The Caps' first pick looks to me as 27. Hopefully that's right. According to The Athletic, the Caps are going to take a dude named by the name of Blake Fiddler.
Is he a fiddler?
He's a big right shot defenseman with good mobility and hands and a solid compete level, even if not a natural puck mover. Mm. They also might consider a center like Milton Gastrin. So maybe next week we get Wino or Locker or somebody on to talk about the draft picks they got. But if you're looking for Caps coverage tonight, man, draft is on. Should be legit.
Check it out.
The conversation I'm really interested in having, though, is with our friend Josh Kendall from The Athletic. You can give him a follow at Josh Kendall. Josh The Athletic, pardon me. Josh, what's up, man? Thanks for making time for us.
Thanks for having me.
So, dude, in your day job, you cover the Falcons, but I think this time of year, we're all kind of looking at broader stories, and you had one that I think is really, really interesting. We hear about artificial intelligence all the time. It dominates the stock market. Apparently, young college graduates can't get jobs because everything's being replaced by AI, but we don't really think about AI in sports. Your latest article for The Athletic shows a different scene.
Yeah, I mean, I think I came to this story just the way you came to this question, which is, you know, we none of us can exist without hearing, you know, artificial intelligence is going to change, you know, artificial intelligence is going to take our jobs, it's going to change the way we live, it's going to do X, Y, and Z. So I started thinking, well, what's it going to do in football? And I think I started with the question of, you know, could we headed toward a future where an offensive and defensive coordinator are upstairs in the box and they're calling plays with artificial intelligence assistance? We really can't. NFL rules forbid that. So then I walked it back to what are the ways it's going to shape the game? And it looks like, you know, there are a couple of paths for this. The one that I took is sort of these coaching aids that all these people are working on and the breakthroughs that are right around the corner, and how will they be received among NFL staffs and NFL coaches, and how will they affect the game?
So I think about QCs, the quality control guys, the bottom of the coaching roster. And so much of their time is spent cutting up clips. Hey, I need to see every third down this team's had in the last month, whatever that is, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how much of that can get offloaded to AI?
Those are the people who jobs are in danger first. And I'm not saying right now, I'm not saying next season. But Ryan Paganetti, who Pete Carroll hired in Las Vegas as the head coach research specialist. Everybody said, you know, what exactly is a head coach research specialist? And I talked to Ryan, and he said, you know, I'm not exactly our AI guy, but I'll be using AI every day. So what Paganetti and a lot of recent hires around the league are going to be doing is bridging the gap between the technology side and what's capable and the coaches, so they understand each other and the coaches can get the most value out of it. And he said, yes, we could be headed toward a time where some coaches lose their job. It won't be, as you mentioned, any of the coaches whose names we know, or they're not going to be losing their jobs. These things are not going to be doing the offensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator's job, the offensive line coach's job. They're certainly not going to be replacing anybody who's on the field touching the players, coaching the players. But where they will have an impact are those QC guys. And as you know, this is the pool of people who the next group of offensive and defensive coordinators come from, right? These guys have these jobs because they're a stepping stone to move up the ladder. And those things absolutely were – a lot of people believe that those responsibilities can soon be handled by AI because of the improvements in computer vision. You can essentially – you know, the computer will watch the tape and spit out whatever data you want it to and do it in – a hundredth of the time a human being would do it.
But how many of the coaches get so concerned about the fact that if you're using AI, I'm using AI, we got the same information? Because they always, every one of them are seriously concerned about somebody else knowing what they know.
Right. That's the sweet spot. The sweet spot is going to be the team that figures it out. There's so much data, but only so much of it is going to be of real value. Mm-hmm. So the real secret to this is going to be who sort of figures out the most valuable parts first. And one of the most interesting things that I talked to is people talking about the secrecy of it. Like, they know that their opponents are hiring analysts, AI type, you know, hiring these positions, but nobody knows what the other guy's analytics staff is doing, really. And they don't want anybody to know what their analytics staff is doing. I talked to a guy named Omar Ishmiri, who runs a company called Slants. And Slants is focused more on the scouting applications for this, which are also vast. But I just didn't have, you know, I focused on the coaching applications. There are huge scouting applications. But Omar said, you know, he spoke at the Sloan conference a couple of summers ago. He said, teams are meeting with me, but they're asking me to come down the furthest hall away from the conference room they can find. They're asking me to go to the Starbucks across the street. They don't even want the other teams to know that they're talking to me, much less what they're talking to me about. They wouldn't even tell him in a lot of cases what they wanted data for. They were just like, can you give me this piece of data, without saying this is the context we want it for. So all of that is going to be a really closely guarded secret. And who sort of finds the real valuable stuff first, I think will be the key to who gets the most value out of this whole thing.
Is this like, just like a let's say, an extra step of like the analytics? Think about that. I know the New England Patriots were doing analytics way before everybody else started. They had a whole staff, and then they would win a lot of games. They would do a lot of stuff. People wanted to go so far as to start saying, well, they got to be cheating. The person right. That gets with the AI first, they're going to do basically be analytics on steroids, basically, huh?
It is. And I think it's key to understand right now. I think we hear about the artificial intelligence boogeyman, and we think of, you know, or at least people of my elder generation, think of like Terminator. Uh-huh. These things are gonna start making decisions on their own. That's not where artificial intelligence is right now, despite all of the stuff that you hear. There are people who think it's going to go there and would like it to go there. Artificial intelligence now, 99% means machine learning, which is just super, think of it as super advanced analytics. So it's not like an AI is going to draw up a whole new play. But it's going to give you the type of data and the type of relational data that you didn't know you should be looking for, because it can just mine that so much of that data so quickly. And when computer vision gets to the point where it can watch film, then it's going to take another step, because you're just putting the data into the computer. The computer is watching it and mining all sorts of data. And then you've got to have these people saying, okay, what of that is of real value? But right now, yes, it is just super advanced analytics, but it's so advanced that I think it's hard for us sometimes to understand exactly how powerful it could be.
What, in your conversations with folks around the league, what teams seem the most forward thinking on this? And a lot of it, I would guess, stuff ain't cheap. So teams have to spend some real money to get this AI up and running. You know, I'm curious what teams are willing to invest the most.
That'll be key. I mean, I think Pete Carroll, I talked to Pete Carroll and his eyes lit up at the mention of it. He wants the Raiders to be on the forefront of it. Hmm. He is very excited about its application and what it can do. It's one of the reasons he hired Paganetti. And he is a believer in the technology and what it might do. And he doesn't proclaim to know what that is or how it's going to be useful, but he wants to be on the front end of that. One of the guys that I talked to, an NYU student, Smit Bhajja, two guys, Vishak Sanwar and Smit Bhajja, they were the winning team in this year's Big Data Bowl, which is this event that the NFL holds alongside the Combine every year, where these super really smart people build these platforms to try to come up with what's the best of this. So they won this year. I talked to them in May. By the end of this, well, excuse me, I talked to them in March. By May, Bhajja had been hired by the Eagles. Sanwar, by June, had been hired by a company called Somer Sports, which is one of the companies that's out there building all of this really advanced stuff. Mm-hmm. So everybody is dipping their toe into it. The Browns currently have the biggest analytics staff. But again, just because you look on a page and it says, this is my analytics staff, we don't know exactly what all those people are doing. So we don't know who's putting that money in. But if you look at owners who are constrained by the salary cap for players, and not all of them, I mean, I don't think none of us are foolish enough to think that all 32 owners really, really, really try to win the Super Bowl every year. There are a lot of teams that just don't. But of that group that does, there are several of them who, are looking for ways to spend money to get an advantage. So they will make the investment. They will spend the money. And you mentioned, one of the guys I talked to is a professor at MIT, and he said, these guys don't come cheap. You go look at what Google's paying their people. That's what you're going to have to pay the really smart people in this space.
Well, and what's really interesting to me is not only just because somebody's title says analytics, what they're doing remains a mystery. And when it gets to the highest level, when it gets to the head coach, the general manager, the OC, the DC, are they going to take that data and really look at it? Are they going to be like, yo, thanks, kid, and just throw it on their desk and never pay attention to it?
Yeah.
So exactly. There's a lot of levels to it, I think.
Right. So you've got to have buy-in from the top to say, we're going to do this, we're going to believe in this. And you have to have the people in the middle who can translate it. Thomas Dimitroff, former Patriots exec and Falcons GM, mm-hmm. until very recently worked for Schumer. And his job was sort of NFL liaison. And he would go have these talks with these staffs. And he said, they're on the edge of their seat. They are receptive to this information. They want to figure out a way to do things better and to gain these advantages. But you can get to a point where they no longer understand it. And once you get to that point, they click out. And they're like, okay, nope. Come back to me next year when it's simpler, when it's better, when it's more refined, when there are no bugs. So you've got to have people who can get the technology into a presentable and understandable form and be able to explain to coaches why it's valuable.
Hey, Josh, really appreciate your time, man. Josh. Thank you, dude. Interesting stuff.
Thanks for having me.
I love the concept of you tracking that article down, man. Well done.
Thank y'all very much.
Josh Kendall from The Athletic. You can give him a follow at Josh The Athletic. Covers the Falcons as a beat reporter, but some big picture stuff there, man. AI's coming for us all. You know what else is coming? Ask B-Mitch Anything. At 1 o'clock, phone lines will be open. Nobody go.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Anywhere. All right, folks, get your cell phones ready. In 10 minutes, you get to ask Brian Mitchell anything you want. Then at 1:30, we're getting up to speed on RFK. Mark Seagraves, NBC4 reporter, will join us. A few minutes ago, I posted what was a good question, I thought, from Nikki Javala. What happens first, Terry McLaurin extension or D.C. approves RFK Stadium? Over 4,000 votes.
What did they say?
Overwhelmingly, Terry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
88% Terry, 12%
people don't believe
RFK.
In politics. That's all it is.
You know what? Whether it's local all the way up to international, pretty hard to believe much that politicians
politics
say.
Sucks.
I want to lean on, who's the youngest? Wes, you the youngest one here? Okay. Savannah Bananas are in town, B. Are you familiar with the Savannah Bananas?
Oh, that's that team that be singing and dancing and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. When I go to watch sports, I want sports. I don't need all that extra stuff.
Okay. Savannah Bananas are here. They're playing. I don't know if playing's the right term, but.
They are performing.
Yeah. They're at Nats Park this weekend, is my understanding. They have Nats Park sold out.
Yeah. People are like. You know,
I don't believe the Washington Nationals have Nats Park sold out all year. Maybe opening day.
Yeah, but see, this is something different. This is like an entertainment thing. This is not necessarily a game. So they have more to pull them in. The Nats right now, you expect them to win, and they're not doing very well.
So.
GP about to come on.
Okay.
Talk Savannah Bananas.
Are you excited about the bananas, Jeff?
I ain't gonna lie. I think it's a cool concept.
I told you.
It's a cool concept.
The sensitive gangster. Look.
The sensitive gangster.
He tried to be hard as hell. He's soft as cotton.
It's just cool.
Let's ask
you
the
like
two.
Let's ask the
two youngest guys.
Because
you guys are both 21, 22, right?
Yeah.
Summer schedule here. Are you into the Savannah Bananas, Strober?
Like, I won't go. I'm not going to watch it personally.
Yeah,
I understand the concept. I see the TikToks. I think it's good because it promotes baseball to people, maybe in a way they didn't
intrigue
before.
Give Strover a minute, man. He's talking. All right, Wes, what about you?
Yeah, like, when it's on my Instagram Reels, like, I'll watch it, but I'm not going to go to it. Like, I know they're selling out.
It's not cool enough for you.
All right.
It's not cool enough.
Greg like Paulson.
Okay, I'll say this. It's a cool concept, but if every single day, no chance.
I'll see it one time.
You know Jeff will go.
I'll take the grandkids one time, and I'll never go back.
All right. Greg Paulson walked in, because I'm guessing you have the same questions I do.
I have 1 million questions. Here's my annoyance, by the way, with this.
Grant, how long have you been working in Meridian?
That's not on. Yeah. You think when Jeff tells him to walk in studio, he would turn the mic on?
Well, we don't. I would think he would turn the mics on. That's normally how a board.
This is a prison cell, dog. It's a whole different operation.
Yeah, don't worry.
They call him an operator of the board, but that's fine. I could hit my own mic. Hey, so I'm walking my lap, right? I do this Navy Yard lap every day.
Okay.
It's a madhouse of families in bananas gear. I don't understand. This one dude is walking into what's the bar over there? He was walking into Tom's Watch Bar. He's in the rival team's gear. So it's called like the firefighters. He has a fire helmet and a fire jacket and a jersey.
Does he not know it's hot outside?
Bro, his wife's...
That guy's a loser.
But,
let's be clear about that.
But hold on. His wife's jersey, firefighters, is signed by like 23 players. I literally went up to him. I'm like, that's the team that plays the bananas, right? Yeah. I said, so you guys travel around? Or are you from here? He's like, from here. He looked at me like I was the crazy one. But you're right. I have 1,000 questions. No one can answer them. I just want to know how it got so big so fast.
Hey, I have a question.
Because people like crazy stuff. That's it.
Have the Nats sold out a game this year?
I believe they announced a sellout on opening day.
I see 41,000 for opening day.
Yes. I believe they announced that as a sellout. Now, you can cram more people into that ballpark. The announced attendance for the NLCS game against the Cardinals, I think game one.
Like 47?
I was thinking it was like 43 and change.
Okay.
But when you're over 40,000, that place is pretty jammed.
If you want a pair of tickets to the Bananas for tonight.
Mm-hmm. How much is it going to cost you?
Nosebleeds, $65 a pop. You want to sit down low, it's $100 easy. It looks like you could get out in the corner of the outfield for $94 a pop.
So they're making money in this area because they had some.
They're making money.
They had some soccer game yesterday.
Hey, Mitch. Well, no doubt. This area, all the restaurants, the bar owners, that when we talk about stadiums and what good they can do, well, people are giddy about today because there's 40,000 people going to be coming down here over the next couple of nights, probably actually closer to 75,000.
What was the soccer game at Audi Field yesterday?
The club joint.
Yeah, because I saw all these people.
I think it's the.
It was a ton of people yesterday.
I think it's the FIFA World Cup club thing.
It is. Yeah. I think yesterday was like the second game of three that they're going to have at Audi. But my whole thing, JP, is like nobody seems to care about this. I just want to know how it got so big with young people so fast. It has to be social media.
Go ahead, Strober. How?
I don't even necessarily have the answer to that, but you bring up a great point with that because yesterday I was at a comedy show and the opening shtick from this guy, Jake Shane. First of all, I'm like one of only like 10 dudes at the entire show, probably with my girlfriend. And he goes, Savannah Bananas, where did they come from? What? Who are they and why are they so big all of a sudden? I've known about them for years, but maybe it's because I love baseball.
I mean,
they have 3.5 million Instagram followers.
They're the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball.
I'm not going to go. They have my full support. Have a blast. Yeah. We got a break. I hope everybody enjoys it. I hope the Savannah Banana Mayhem doesn't impact my ride out of here. That's like all the things I care about is I don't want banana traffic.
Get the banana hell out my way. Here's my closing comment to Jeff. Everyone just says, it's the Globetrotters. I've never seen grown-ass men in Globetrotters gear head to toe. I've never seen it.
This is not Globetrotters.
You do have a point there.
The Globetrotters were actually very good.
They're good at
These dudes are good at
They're good at baseball.
They're good at entertainment.
They do some cool baseball
stuff.
B is definitely hating.
No, I'm not hating.
I think the baseball supposedly
I don't go to silly stuff. I let my kids go.
So you wouldn't go see the Harlem Globetrotters?
I saw the Harlem Globetrotters when I was much, much younger because I knew
you
I
saw
was,
Curly Neal
I was
with
dating
hair.
The dude's daughter.
Of course, you would.
It's good to be B Mitch. Hey, I want everybody to load up the phone lines, and it's time for Ask B Mitch Anything. See if B Mitch will go with you
Do
to the Savannah
ask
Bananas.
Me anything
game.
About the Savannah
Yo,
Bananas?
All, non-stop banana you. Questions next. 800-636-1067.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.